Off the Ball. GAA.
In today's game, as a player, you need to be able to manage yourselves on the pitch, but management need to be able to get messages in and alter how you're playing if it's not working. And I thought Cork and Dublin for the whole 70 minutes played the exact same way, seeing that it wasn't going right and that it wasn't working.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Well, folks, welcome along to another night of League of Ireland Late Night. I'm delighted to say that I'm joined by our regular co-host, Shane Keegan. Shane, how are you doing?
Shane, how are you keeping? Have you managed to defrost yourself yet?
I tell you what, Shane, I've just got inside my car outside Oriel Park, and my hands are still roaring pink at me. It's a bitter, bitter night out there. I'm just glad my game went ahead, to be honest with you, Shane. That was my... I suppose not a big worry when you're playing on AstroTurf, but I was driving up through the absolutely torrential rain, and I was kind of wondering to myself, I wonder, could a couple of games get called off tonight? And unfortunately, that's the way it went.
Yeah, 100%. I was actually caught. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was actually caught with a training session early on myself, so I missed the first half of games, and then I came back... I was opening up the app as I was turning on Virgin, and the next thing I saw, that two of the games were gone by the wayside, and I kind of jumped to the conclusion that was because of the fuel crack and that maybe teams weren't able to get to where they needed to be for games. And it was only then I saw it kind of put two and two together, considering I had been standing out in lashing rain for the previous hour and a half. I probably should have copped just how detrimental that was going to be to pitches. So yeah, it played carnage, didn't it? So only three of our five games, but still plenty of talking points.
Absolutely, plenty of talking points on it. Maybe if we've any fans in who might have travelled, well, I was going to say travelled down to Waterford if you're Drogheda, I don't think there was many doing that journey, but if you were a Shells fan, maybe they went out to Galway, or a Galway fan who was maybe going, or a Waterford fan going to home games as well, we'd love to hear your opinion, because I'll be honest with you, Shane, if I was on my way down, if I was a fan and I was going to one of them games and it was called off that late, I'd be rightly very, very, very annoyed. Shane, I think I might have just lost your line there briefly. Just to run through, while we wait for Shane to come back, just to run through the scores of the three games that did happen for anyone that missed it. St. Patrick's Athletic, who were top of the table, of course, before today, lost 1-0 at home to Shamrock Rovers. So that's twice now Shamrock Rovers have managed to defeat St. Pat's so far this season. And basically, means that Shamrock Rovers go top of the table, and thanks to that, and thanks to Sligo Rovers getting a huge 2-1 win at Dalymount Park. And both started this season very, very strong, but without a win now since the 13th of March, when they beat Galway United 1-0, and goals are becoming a bit of a worry for Alan Reynolds' men. And then the game that I was luckily enough to be at tonight, Dundalk 2, Derry City 2. I'll be honest, Derry City and Tiernan Lynch can be very, very happy going back up the road with the result. Probably not so much with the performance, but definitely with the result. Shane, do I have you back in there? I don't think I do. So I'm going to go straight on to our request. And I can see from the game that I was at, we have Marty has requested. So I'm going to get Marty in there now while we wait for Shane to come back. Marty, did you make the trip to Oriel Park tonight?
I did, Ben, and I have to say, I don't want to hear about you complaining about the weather up there in your press box, the Prawn Sandwich Brigade. I was down in the trenches down there. I've never had a rougher night on a terrace in my life. It was absolutely brutal.
That's probably the first and last time you'll ever hear Oriel Park press box described as the Prawn Sandwich Brigade. But I have to say, I did feel for y'all when I was looking at you standing out in the rain. I did. I've been there myself as a teenager, going to games away in Oriel Park, and it's not a nice place to be when the conditions are as they were tonight. On the performance, maybe first of all from Derry City, look, I got to speak to Kieran Clough after the game. I didn't quite get to speak to Tiernan Lynch because I had to rush out to record this. But if I was, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but if I was a Derry City fan, I wouldn't have been too pleased with the overall performance there tonight.
No, like in isolation, it's probably not a bad point considering the form that Dundalk are in. But like when you look at where we are now, seven games out of win, and you know, I think we're what, probably sitting seventh after that point. But you know, and like you know yourself, it's the same every week now. Like the game management is so poor. Like, Dundalk were good, but they were there for the taking as well. Like, and we just didn't go for it. As soon as we went 2-1 up, we just shut up shop, and we can't defend well enough to do that. So I don't see how Tiernan sees the game like that, where he makes all these defensive changes, but we can't defend. And, you know, Dundalk, in fairness, when we were 2-1 up, we probably could have went 3-1 up. Josh Thomas, absolutely gilt-edged opportunity, he missed. But after that, then it was all Dundalk. And in fairness, Dundalk were lucky not to take all 3 points then.
Yeah, look, I'll be honest, I did expect a rapid start from Dundalk, and we got that. But then you managed to get the goal on virtually, if I can recall correctly, virtually the first attack. I think there might have been one attack before it. But when that goal went in, the James Clark goal went in, I kind of thought, maybe this is where Derry kick on, and maybe this is almost where the season kicks on. But a really lacklustre performance going forward, and I think that, like, that's probably the worry, isn't it? Like, you've so many attacking options. I know, obviously, Michael Duffy is out at the moment. There's so many attacking options there, and still just can't really seem to muster anything going forward.
No, like, we can't transition at all. Like, it's the same. Like, if some of our passing tonight was, like, the worst I've ever seen. We can't get out. That's the problem. We can maybe hit a ball over the top, and that works sometimes. But, like, the Dundalk centre-backs and all were beasts. Like, you know, it worked the odd time, but it didn't. And as I said this about the Derry midfield, it's so unbalanced. Like, we have so many number eights, if that makes sense. Like, good box-to-box midfielders like Adam O'Reilly, Winchester. We've no, like, Diallo's anymore, a number six. We've no Will Patchings anymore, like, a proper number 10 who can, you know, run a game for you. Like, it's just so unbalanced, and we just cannot play out through the phases. Like, you know, that's what's killing us, basically.
Yeah, I'll agree with you, to be honest on that. I completely agree. I thought Carl Winchester and O'Reilly in there is a bit of an odd combo. There's no fella who's going to break up a counter attack. There's a lot of playmakers in there. Like I said, they're probably bolting for eights, and then McLean comes in there as well. We'll get on to him probably as we go on. What happened there in the last couple of minutes? But a real kind of ineffectiveness with the ball at your feet, and you can say so much for not having a six there and being able to break it up. But even with those kind of playmakers and players who can do stuff going forward, there's really nothing on offer. Like,
oh, yeah, they're right, and like, James Clark is really good ball carrier and stuff. But again, like, since I've been saying this for years, we haven't replaced Will Patching. There isn't a lot of Will Patchings around, but we just don't have the link man anymore. And that's fair enough if you want to bypass it. But what we're trying to do is play through the phases without it, and it's not working. And Diallo is key, because we don't have anyone who can play under pressure. You know, like, in our final third, like, McLean and all, he just loses the ball every time he tries to do it. So the balance is so off. Like, Tiernan Lynch, whatever's gone on in that transfer window over the winter, it's just destroyed us. Like, you know, it was the worst transfer window we've ever probably had. Roddy Collins was right. James McLean, worst signing in Derry history. There you go. Come on, Roddy.
Shane, I might ask you, just from a managerial perspective, what does Tiernan Lynch really do here? They just can't seem to muster up anything going forward. And I suppose, look, they managed to, I suppose, limit really Dundalk to two goals. Dundalk had an absolute heap of chances there tonight, and Kilduff referenced it after the game. They're disappointed as the promoted side to not be picking up the 3 points there. What do you do if you're Tiernan Lynch?
Look, I listened to Vinny on your own pod during the week, and he was very good at giving the manager's perspective on it, because it's just so hard. And listen, the supporters are 100% within their rights just to come down heavy on the manager when results aren't going their way. They don't care what's going on in the background, or they don't want to hear any of how hard he's trying or anything like that. They just want to see results, and I get that. But I do feel for him. Like, he will be doing everything he possibly can. And listen, I've been there. You get to the stage where you end up actually trying mad stuff. Like, I remember going through a similar patch at Galway where Like we had tried all the logical things to do. We trained this way, then we trained that way, then we mixed it up and trained this way. It got to the point where we kind of just said, like, none of this is working, and we took the lads away instead of training and took them off and kind of did team bonding activities to try and take their mind off it and try to see would that help them gel and would that make them click. And I've no doubt Tiernan's going through all of that. You know, he's trying it one way. He's trying it what would have brought him success in the past. That's what he'll lean on first. He'll have tried that, and that's not working. So then he'll have gone, right, it's not working. What's worked for me in the past in other clubs isn't working for me this time around. I need to try to do things a different way. He's probably tried that now for the last 2-3 weeks, and that's not working. And he's going to be scratching his head trying to figure what can I do here. And look, there is no doubt while I am part of the managers' union, you never want to see one of them. He is coming under pressure, and he'll know that better than anybody, the same as I would have at Galway, or the same as any of us that have lost their jobs anywhere. You'll know that time is running out. But sometimes, just literally as the cleaver is hanging over your head, a result can come along that can spark a revival. I would argue that many years ago that cleaver was hanging over Stephen Bradley's head. So it was. He was very, very close to it, and Shamrock Rovers fans once upon a time thought he could do an all right. But it has to come pretty quickly for Tiernan now. He will know that's for sure. And listen, the most concerning thing there, you've kind of half touched on it, the most concerning thing for Derry at the moment is, like, the results are not a surprise anymore. Like, at the start of the season, if you had said to me that Dundalk would be disappointed not to have taken all 3 points against Derry at this stage of the season, I would have thought you were mad. If you'd said to me that Sligo Rovers, would have been disappointed not to have got a win over Derry on Monday night, I would have thought you would have been mad. But again, that's kind of the way it is. Everybody's, it's almost like it's the game everybody wants right now. If you're in this league at the moment, you want Derry. That's what you want as your next fixture, because they're probably just in such a vulnerable place at the moment that everybody fancies having a crack at them.
It's bizarre, Shane. I was listening as well to the League of Ireland pod on Off the Ball with Gareth Steele and Vinnie during the week, and I can't remember who made the comment. And basically said, is there a worry that Derry could go here to Oriel tonight? And if Dundalk are on form, this could end up being a big scoreline. It's absolutely insane to think. And look, I know there's a separate conversation about Derry off the pitch as well, with some of the money that's gone into the signings, but purely from an on-pitch perspective, the players who are on the pitch starting that game on paper should absolutely be better than the Dundalk team. But that Dundalk team just seemed to have that fight and unity and togetherness that Derry just don't have at the moment. It must be, Marty, I can only imagine how frustrating it is for a fan to come down there and stand in that rain, and I'm wearing pounding on the misery end at the moment, but like you must be scratching your heads going, what on earth needs to be done to fix this?
But you say that then because of the money they've shelled out for the players. But Marty has already made the point, and he's right, is that, like, unfortunately, regardless of how much money was shelled out for these players, regardless of the weekly wage that they're on, like, the form guide, you're saying they're better players, the Derry players are better players, they're more highly paid players. I'm not sure they are better players than the Dundalk players. I would imagine,
well, if you look purely, and I actually spoke to Kilduff and said kind of, how are his players, a lot of his players basically have had little to no Premier Division minutes before the season, yet they've already got up to the pace and the physicality and the power of the league, and are easily able to outmatch that Derry team. If you looked at that start of the season and you look at that Dundalk team, you think virtually none of that team have
100%
minutes at all. So looking at it from that sort of perspective, you're playing against a team who have the only Premier Division minutes they have are the first opening 10-11 games of the season, and you have a side who have a player on your side who's got 100 caps for Ireland.
I get it. I completely get where you're coming from, but at the same time, what I'm saying is coming into that game tonight, I'm not sure too many Dundalk fans would have swapped too many players in their starting 11 for too many that are in the Derry starting 11. Just at this moment. Because they're looking at what their players are giving them. They're looking at what the Derry players, well, Marty better than anybody is looking at what the Derry players are giving them. And like I would say, Marty, you probably would have fancied maybe swapping out a few of your lads for a few of the Dundalk lads tonight,
Absolutely, Shane. And I think
the point has to be made as well. Like, it looks like the players are kind of down in tools a bit on Tiernan. Like, if you have behaved like Tiernan has at the club, he's ran off about 20 players, maybe 25 players. A lot of ex-teammates are gone. That's okay. You have to keep winning, though. Like, so for me, the players aren't really playing for them. You're right there, Shane, that we haven't made the right signings. Dundalk, I think, do have a lot of great young players that I'd rather have, but it also, I think the players have kind of down tools a little bit on them, and that's why we're not getting the, they're not playing the potentials at all. Like.
Just before we let you go, a word on what happened at the end there. James McLean, two yellow cards in added time, just to pound the misery upon Tiernan Lynch and the fans who are going home. I mean, there was jeers going up all around Oriel Park when he's walking off. It's probably fair to say that the season hasn't started the way he would have liked to.
I think people are kind of starting to get a taste of James McLean's personality, and a lot of silly, childish Instagram posts all weekend and stuff like that. So, you know, he reacted like you'd expect him to react. He was very petulant. He made a very clear foul. He had to go with the ref then. He deserved to get a second yellow. I'm glad the ref did it to him. Bonuses for us. We won't see him next week.
Marty, I'll let you enjoy your journey back up to Derry, and hopefully the result against Shelburne goes a little bit better for you next week.
Thanks, Ben. All the best.
Cheers.
Cheers, Marty.
Shane, I'm going to bring in Anthony now, our regular Bose. I suppose I can call him correspondent. I can't imagine he's going to be too happy tonight. I don't know if you managed to see any of the goals in that game between Bose and Sligo Rovers.
I did.
Sligo, I mean, we spoke about that briefly. You touched on they'd be disappointed in that game against Derry, and I suppose I think it was McIlroy with the header, was it, on Monday? That was the big chance, which just drifted wide of the post. They didn't drift wide of the post today. Fitzgerald's goal, prime example of that. A huge 3 points for them, isn't it?
Listen, absolutely fantastic result for them. It really is. And again, you know, you talk about when the going gets tough, can you find that result that will get things moving in the right direction for you? You know, he was badly in need of a result there. That's for sure. And there's no doubt the early form that we were getting from Bose, and we'll get Anthony on to give us an even clearer read of it. The early form we were getting from Bose, where they hit the top of the table and were looking good, that has dissipated a fair bit over the last few weeks. And again, to the extent that, you know, I was doing a preview of this game during the week, and in my head I was saying, you know, this, you should have a strong fancy for Bose here, and yet I was kind of putting forward an argument as to why I didn't have an overly strong fancy for Bose. You know, things haven't been overly free flowing. There's been an over reliance on Colin Whelan for goals. And it was a game that you were looking at and going, I could see a surprise result here. I would have called a draw even a surprise result, to be honest. I don't know if I'd have stuck my neck out as far as to predict a Sligo win, but Anthony, fill us in.
How you, lads?
All good.
Yeah, look, it's tough one to watch, actually, because it seems happening, sort of thing. So, you never felt like you were in cruise control. Obviously, it was a bit like Monday night. I was annoyed on Monday night at the Waterford game, but they actually played a lot better on Monday than they did tonight. Exactly to your point, Shane. You summed it up well. Even beforehand, I wasn't overly confident. Like, you look at, but like, before Sligo scored tonight, you look at Will Fitzgerald, and they started off as a back five, but it's still a tough game. And Will Fitzgerald, even in, as a reset, was kind of high. And I said to myself, this is not good, because he's picking up little positions where we're not going to be able to get those from. And then it was like, same as Monday night against Waterford, it was kind of like, okay, balls are there, they're kind of playing football, but not really, there's no conviction in it. There's no real, okay, let's put the ball in the box and fight and kind of do what they need to do. There was just an empty tank sort of a thing. I don't know how much more to describe it. It's just, I don't know, is it any big playing Charlie's? Are they playing in the big games? And when they need to show up in the small games, are they not doing the simple things? Are they not doing the kind of hard yards that they need to do? They are when they come up against Sligo team that were there for the take in terms of the mismatch from failures, the only players. Even there's some parts sitting here this week that were given out by John Russell for mad reasons, and you're going to come. It's all fans, some of the fans in the town, for example, being in Dublin and England, this is all self about this, more than it is. You never felt like that, exactly the same. You never felt like that. I don't know.
Anthony, I think your line is just breaking up there.
Yeah, we're getting a good bit of feedback there. I could hear the majority of the points he was making, yeah. But you might see if you can log off and log back on and try and solve that for us, Anthony, while we're just discussing some of your points. You'd wonder, Ben, wouldn't you? Because, look, I know they had no Dawson tonight and De Rooney has been out as well, but you've still got a lot of quality in that side, and they should be carving out and creating more goal scoring chances than they are at the moment, in my opinion anyway. Like you've got Ross Tierney there, obviously. Who else was playing tonight? Parsons has got a bit about him. Myers has gone and got the goal for them. Like, but it doesn't anything I've seen of them in the last while, it all seems very kind of one dimensional, very predictable. And really, I suppose the points they were picking up was built on the solidity of the defensive rear guard. And, you know, one goal or certainly two goals would have been enough for them to pick up all 3 points. Tonight is, I'm just having a quick look down here. Am I right in saying, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's the first time they've conceded 2 goals in 6. So the one thing you have been always able to say about them was that there's a defensive solidity there that always gave them a chance, that if they scored one goal, they were at least picking up a point, if not picking up all 3. But you were looking going, well, I'll tell you what, if you do start conceding a couple of goals in a game, you're in a bit of bother here, because you're very rarely scoring more than one goal. And that's exactly how it played out tonight. They were only capable of getting the one. I don't think they've missed any major chances, even really, aside from the one that they've scored. And then for the first time, as I say, in a long, long time, they have coughed up 2, and because the firepower isn't there for them to get 2 or more, it means they're coming away with nothing.
Yeah, it's funny, Shane. It's something that I've kind of thought about both now for the last couple of weeks, is how do you get a bit more out of Colin Whelan up top? And there's a mix of those creating chances. And then the other part of me going, do you play 2 strikers up top? And it's not just how you get the best out of them. You have someone else up there alongside it.
Yeah, sorry. Let me jump in there. Is that line a little bit better?
Go on, that's a bit better, yeah.
A bit better, yeah.
So basically what I've been saying since day dot with Colin Whelan is, and it's not a criticism of Colin Whelan, he plays his game, but he's coming towards, and I said it from last season, he's coming towards the play. And we need players, and it's easy to say, can you have runners running off? But it's not as easy to do with Terry. So the other night, or last week, 7 days ago in Drogheda, we had Ross out on the left, and I think the brief was get him running beyond, and the 1 or 2 times he did, Drogheda come in and made the little fouls. Them situations are, when they happen repeatedly, it's not as easy to manufacture. So what we're having now with balls is we have Colin Whelan coming towards the ball like we did last season when he played. We've nobody running beyond them, and it's all static. The other night against Waterford, to the point I made a couple of weeks ago, whereas we have the key to the lock in that dressing room with the players that we have, and if we put Hickey up front, we can win the second balls and start playing in the areas that we need to play. But that didn't happen till the game was a red flag game. So I suppose to what we're trying to say is that we need to have that from the get-go, where there's kind of an intensity. What is I saying there is like that, right? So we should look at all the all the intricacies of the game that we want to look at. But anybody wearing a bow shirt tonight, they didn't have enough. They didn't have enough pull. There wasn't enough. Let's go out, venom there. Let's go out and win this game. Let's push Sligo to the sword. They're here for the taking. Let's go and get our 3 points that we deserve at home. That we didn't get on Monday night against Waterford that we should have got. There was not enough of that. So you can look at tactics all you want, but was there enough will to win from the right moments? No, is the answer to that question from a Bowles fan's perspective.
Yeah, that's interesting. Again, Ben, like I'm making a little bit of a leap here, right? But across the water, I'm for my sins a Tottenham fan. And you look, I would say Colm, as I say, I know Colm since he's 4, 5, 6 years of age, so I do, and he's probably equally adept as a 10 as he is as a 9, and he's technically very good, which exactly as he's laid out there means that he does have a tendency to come towards the play in the same way that a Harry Kane would have for Spurs back when Spurs were good and had a Harry Kane. But what Spurs always had then, which I think he's kind of crying out for there, is that you had a Son who made the opposite run and went from deeper to darting in behind, and that balance worked brilliantly. And you know, Anthony is saying that maybe they were trying to get that from Rossi, but they're definitely not, don't seem to be getting it from anybody. And it probably surprised me, Anthony, that when he did bring on Douglas James Taylor, that it was a straight swap for Colm Whelan. You would have thought you were behind in the game at that stage. I think you would have thought he would have chanced going two up top at that stage, would you?
And you know what he done though? He put Hickey up front with James Taylor, so they were training.
So he did get two up. Yes.
Yeah. So he got the two up. But Whelan's played an awful lot of football. And by the way, I'm absolutely not criticising Whelan. He does fantastic work. And if I was a manager, I'd have Whelan all day long. I'd suss him out to get him onto my team, because he does some great work, and it's not his job. There's no point in the chap trying to do something that he's not great at. He's doing everything he can do for that team, and he's 5 goals, he's top goal scorer in the league before tonight. So it's not a criticism of Whelan. Whelan's great. It's just the team needs to evolve to suit the situation that they're in. So they did the other night against Waterford, and they created an awful lot of chances, but they didn't tonight in the sense of Sligo had something to build on, and they've done it. Look, listen, a lot of credit goes to Sligo on that as well, because they had nothing to play with tonight. They were 1-0 down, it looked bad, and they just turned it around, and it was a really good performance. Look, Murphy's Law, I suppose, will probably go to Cala next week and get some sort of result the way the league is going at the minute.
Yeah.
I suppose we're always going to have a down to it. That's the way this league works. I'm blue in the face saying it on the show that when you're having a bad run of games, you have to stay in games and try and get a point here and a point there, and that's what it's all about. Like Shells, like Rovers have done, you just have to get the bad points, and it's happening to Pats now as well. You just have to get the bad points as well, and limit the collateral of not having a good performance is try and get a couple of points, and we were doing that till tonight. I'd rather lose to Sligo Rovers at home, lads, than Shells draw the Sligo are the team that I suppose everybody loves, so we'd rather have the bad result against Sligo. And I was really annoyed tonight, my friend had a Campy Down walking out, because I could see it happening before it even happened, so that, I suppose, that adds to the frustration. But yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Surely. Anthony, fair play for jumping on. We've a couple of queuing up here behind you, so we'll bounce on into them, but fair play for that. Again,
Shane, thanks a million. I should just say before we move on, I think we've Mark in from Shamrock Rovers. I can relate to your Tottenham woes. As for my own sins, I'm a West Ham fan.
Hey, hold on now. You leapfrogged us tonight. We've gone into the bottom three on the back of your result tonight, so we are. But listen, we'll get shot for even mentioning English clubs on this. So we'll far more importantly, we'll talk to a man who can give us the Shamrock Rovers view on a very comfortable 1-0 win for them tonight. I think Mark is probably the best way to describe it. You hardly had to get out of third gear, did you?
Yeah, how's it going, lads?
How are you keeping?
All good. Yeah, I was surprised at how well it went for us. I was delighted with it. I just thought it was a top performance, but yeah, what a win.
Yeah, very, very, very comfortable, really. Like, as I say, I don't think he played anywhere near your best, but I don't think he had to play anywhere near your best. I thought they were very, very disappointing, and you kept them at arm's length. I mean, it's a big statement win, Mark. Like, you know, they were flying, they were top of the table. To come into their home ground and kind of dispatch them with ease, it makes a real statement from your side of things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a huge statement, but I thought we were unbelievable in the first half, but second half we kind of took our foot off the pedal, but we are still very comfortable. But yeah, it's just I'm just happy with it, like, do you know what I mean? Like, because I was worried going into the game, because if we lost, Bowes won against Sligo. If Bowes had a win against Sligo, it would have been like a few points ahead of us or whatever, but going into the derby next week, but we done well there tonight. Yeah, happy with it.
You did. No. It looked comfortable. And come here. You've one thing that I noticed. You've dealt very well with a couple of injuries in terms of no Dan Cleary at the moment, no Lee Grace at the moment. So Bawali is turning out to be a very decent signing for you, isn't he?
Yeah, Sabu Wally has turned out to be a great signing. Like, we all thought Sabu Wally's going to play right wing back or left wing back or whatever, because it's pace. But yeah, Sabu Wally has been unbelievable for his right centre back, which is great. Like, and we still have Grace to come back, we still have Dan Cleary to come back. So yeah, we're missing a few bodies at the moment. I don't know what the story is with Rory Gafferty coming back. Danny Manjo's ahead of schedule apparently, so it's all good for us. But just good to get to the top league this early in the league, because normally we start hitting our stride a few weeks after this, so we're ahead of schedule at the moment. So listen, just beat Bowes next week and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, you're getting into top gear just at the right time for that one. So yeah, again, look, you look, we keep talking about the strength and depth and that people are used to springing some top class players. I suppose the one we've been getting excited about recently has been Adam Brennan, but I thought the 15, I suppose, including injury time, we got nearly 20 minutes maybe from the time that Naj Razi came on. I thought he showed a lot in that 20 minutes as well. He looks like somebody who can be more than just a bit part player for you. I think as the season goes on, he, particularly when European games kick in and there's a lot of rotation, I think he could see a lot of league time, and I thought there was some really good signs from him there tonight.
Yeah, it's been a slow start, and Naj is unbelievable. He's unbelievable. Before he left us, he went to Como, didn't quite work out. I think he was on the bench a few times for Como's first team or whatever. But Como's come back. He's going to be a great player for us. Like, he really is. But it's been a slow start. So I think Naj, like, it's going to be it's a slow start for Naj, but he's going to be a big player for us going forward. But if we can get our players back, like, Danny Manjo's ahead of schedule apparently, Rory Gaffney, as I said, I don't know what the story is with Rory, so hopefully Rory comes back soon. I don't know whether Michael Newland's going to go in the summer. It's like, so there's a few question marks there, but if needs be, I think we're going to sign in the summer. So I'm happy. I wasn't happy a few weeks ago. We are drawing a few games, we lost the Bowls, but yeah, tonight's had to be a good night for us.
You're confident heading into next Friday anyway, by the sounds of you.
I'm confident going into next Friday. We need to we're good against Bowls and Tala really, but we don't show up against them in Daly Mount for whatever reason, as we did earlier on in the season. But no, yeah, it's Bowls Cup final. Every time we play them in Daly Mount, it's just another game for us when we beat them in Tallaght. So bring it on.
Fair play, Mark. Hey, thanks a million for jumping on.
Take it easy, lads. Right, good luck.
Great stuff. What I'm going to do, Ben, is I'm going to get see, can we get Shane on and Toby on, because the two boys obviously are followers of clubs whose games fell by the wayside tonight. So it'll be just interesting to see what they made of how late in the day that game was pulled and what their thoughts are around whether it could have been handled better. Shane, Toby, both able to hear me there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Good stuff. Listen, talk to me. Were either of you or were both of you on the way to the game? How far were you? What do you make of the game's been pulled? What's your thoughts on it?
Could have had the game, Dev, but I don't know where Talby was.
I was in the stadium at that stage.
Well, Shane, talk to me about it from your side of things first, I suppose. I walked in,
I was getting my ticket scanned, and I had one look, and I saw the referee drop the ball in the middle of the pitch, and I turned around and said to your man, hey, do you really need to scan this ticket, man? It's got to give me more hassle than it's worth. The game was always going to be called off. There was the ball, like, literally went underneath the actual pitch, practically. So, yeah, I knew straight away it was done.
It was definitely the only decision that could be made.
Ah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, look, I was down there early, obviously, because of the protest. So I got down there at 2 o'clock and didn't stop raining all day. And it was heavy enough, So, and part of me thinking is every grass pitch in Ireland still a bit susceptible because of the February we've had? Have they really all recovered from it? I don't know.
Yeah. And had you any annoyance about it being pulled so late, or are you happy enough just to take it as a case of, well, listen, there's not a whole lot they could have done about it?
Well, from a football point of view, it was good. I spent a lot of money today that's now down the swanny. But look, from a football point of view, it was probably in our favour because we wanted a better kind of conditions, and they probably suited Galway to play the match, and for us, I'd be happy enough to have it see it called off. But obviously, yeah, I spent a lot of money. That was down the spot,
I get you. And Toby, your game obviously was on your doorstep as a Waterford fan. You didn't have to do the travelling. Shane did. But again, would you be singing a similar tune? Was it 100% the right decision? Was the pitch completely unplayable from what you saw?
Absolutely, 100%. Because the way the ball would even bounce once, and every time they turned around, would even move 1 foot.
Really, yeah. And were there many Drogheda fans knocking around at the time, Toby?
Drogheda fans were actually bad for that game, actually. They weren't allowed to travel at all, luckily for them.
Jesus, that worked out very nicely for them, actually, didn't it?
Yeah. Because honestly, I knew for a minute, because I rode into the stadium when the referee went out to his pitch inspection. The minute the ball bounced first time, I was like to myself, yeah, that game could not go ahead.
Yeah. And Toby, listen, I'll get back to Shane there in one sec. We have regular chats with Shane. Just from your own perspective, how do you feel things are going? You got a little bit of a bounce. You're probably disappointed that game is called off tonight because you got a bit of a bounce back last weekend. I know it was only two draws, but it was two draws against two big sides. I think to go those 4 days last weekend without defeat, that surely has to have built confidence within your setup over those couple of days. And I would think they were really looking forward to tonight's game and probably disappointed that it fell away on them.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed when the game was postponed myself, to be fair, because especially when we had kind of momentum from the two games against Shamrock Rovers and Bowes, which, may I add, the defence have been strong. I know we've given away two penalties, but Kevin Lawn has made that defence a difference, I think.
Good, yeah. Look, he was always going to be a big addition there. Have you enough firepower? Good to see Podge getting back amongst the goals there, I suppose, last week. Would you be confident that you can get out of those bottom two positions?
Well, obviously, Sligo winning against Bowes is going to make it a little bit harder on us, but hopefully we beat them next week and just see what happens from there, to be honest.
Yeah, fair enough. Toby, fair play for jumping on. Shane, just to come back to yourself, where's your head at the moment in terms of how things are going? Not a great weekend for you last weekend, that's for sure.
The Rovers game was one thing that happens, but the Dundalk performance was diabolical. It was terrible. Yeah, there's a lot of unhappy Shells fans. Depends on what side of the fence you sit. Tonight was a big game, and I probably don't tell you a favour that it was called off, because we can get a few bodies back, hopefully, maybe. Although I don't know, I think I was supposed to come on the TikTok there during the week, and we asked, did you see that video they sent you? Maybe
I did. Ben sent it on to you. That was a very good spot by you to concede a goal so identical to the same team that you conceded one to previously is pretty unforgivable, isn't it?
Well, it's the same coaching staff, so like I'm not one like yourself for calling people out to take of it, like, but it's the same coaching staff that was there. Joey's assistant, Davey, Mack and Skinner, they were all there, like, and it's the exact same goal, and Jack Ward never shoots from a free kick. I think I asked was his last free kick was like 5 years ago, and it was a bit more central. So like Pico Lopez is the one you have to pick up. So it's easy to criticise the players, but I think sometimes you kind of forget that was your first goal. And it was, we're conceding too many set pieces. The first one against Dundalk was a set piece here. McEnroy just doesn't jump for some bizarre reason. It's just, you're not going to win games if you have that. Like, every goal is only a set piece these days.
And what? Can you put your finger on it? Like, because obviously under Duffer there was such defensive solidity, and to be fair to Joey earlier on, there was such defensive solidity. I'm looking at it here, 2 clean sheets all season, 6 goals conceded over 4 days last weekend. What's changed? Is it that I know you're down some key personnel there, I suppose. That surely has to be having a big impact.
No, I don't even buy that, because people say that about Casey and Barry. Casey's a big loss by the looks of it on the ball, but we conceded a set piece at home the first game against Waterford, and Casey and Barry were in the middle. So they also let in header like from Tommy Larrigan. We just defend set pieces poorly. I think it has to be down to the coaching staff, because it's the same coaching staff for the past 4 or 5 years, and even on that Duffer we couldn't defend set pieces. Look, you can't allow for the 2 goals we gave away, but yeah, for the last 4 years we've conceded set piece after set piece after set piece. Doesn't matter who's in there, and we end up having to play Sean Boyd, who isn't the same Sean Boyd as he was before. But it worked against Pat Hickey, it worked against Conor Keeley, but we lose our build up player football when he plays. So yeah, it's just not being good enough. And Will Jarvis, we haven't got a deal now with him. He's a big money signing, and then we can't get nothing. Signing him, I think, was a bit of a dirty type signing. It was just, he's available, let's go and get him. But he doesn't suit the way we play. So it seems like a waste of money at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, I was literally just going to come on and ask you about him and why are things not quite clicking for him. Listen, I said only a while ago there that at the moment, the way things are going for Derry is probably the team everybody wants to play right now. That's who you've got, I think, next Friday, if I'm right. You'll definitely be wanting to take 3 from that one.
I don't know, and that's another thing as well. That actually reminds me, we haven't won the home game this season, and that's diabolical as well, deplorable. So that's another pressure. It kind of adds pressure to him if he doesn't go and win that. You're looking to go, well, we haven't won 6 home games, and people were like, oh, we didn't beat Rovers and Pats. And you know, and another thing as well is we've gone behind and we've come back and we've lost. We've also gone ahead and we still can't keep it. So there's, everything is just going wrong at the minute. Like, I honestly think we miss Meebo massively. He was the one player at the start of the season that we would have thought would have given us another gear. But we miss him so much, in my opinion. Next week is big. I'm disappointed James McLean's not playing. I'm going to give myself a bit of credit. I called it before Roddy did, so we called it straight after the Rovers game. Everyone was like, McLean this and McLean that, he got man the match. And I said, there's no way this kid's going to go in and play centre midfield. So we actually gave myself a bit of credit for that one.
Fair play.
I just want to say, your man Victor off Rovers, he's an unbelievable footballer. I thought that's who you were going to say, Shane, but it's only when you watch him live, you see his little movements, his spatial awareness is just ridiculous. The touches are they're literally outrageous. He's not really a centre midfielder, but I think it's going to add to his game when he goes to Arsenal. But the fella is an unbelievable football brain.
Now listen, a club as well informed as Arsenal isn't going to shell out $2 million for an Egypt, are they? So no.
I don't think they were signing a centre midfielder, to be fair to them. We think they were getting an out-and-out left winger, and this season it's only when you see him, he doesn't give the ball away very often. He's actually, I was really impressed. His little step over is to let ball to avoid when the player's coming at him. If you watch him, it's only actually when you got the live games you're going to see the quality of him. But he's a good future ahead of him, that kid.
Shane, fair play for jumping on.
Cheers, thanks, lad.
Great stuff. You're a gent. Well, I'm just buzzing in another fella who might take up the Victor baton there for us at the moment and tell us, has he been impressed with him? A big Rovers man, obviously. Ed Saul, can you hear us, Ed?
How are you doing, Shane? How are you?
Not too bad, not at all. Yourself?
Well, I'm just back in from Inchicore, absolutely soaked to the bone. It, like that away end, my God, it's there's no shelter. It's absolutely desperate, but it feels good when you get 3 points on a clean sheet.
I was just going to say, whatever about being wet and miserable, when you're wet and happy, you can just about handle it, can't you? But listen, you were full value for that 3 points tonight, no doubt about it. And as I've said, you know, if Pats were getting notions about themselves and maybe, you know, thinking that they were really starting to look like potential front runners for it, you brought them back down third with a bang there tonight, really, didn't you?
I was disappointed with Pat Shane, to be honest. I thought for a team that was, you know, in good form and, you know, a full house there tonight, they brought nothing to the table, to be honest. I thought we were very, very comfortable. I was disappointed in Pat's, but we've showed signs the last couple of games, in spells that we're starting to get where we want to be. And you know, I just thought tonight was so comfortable, and you know, it's early days in the season, but we're only going to get better, to be honest with you.
Who were the two or three Rovers players that impressed you most for you tonight, Ed?
I thought Victor was outstanding. I think for a 17-year-old with a lot of pressure on his back and a lot of expectation, he's just grown and grown and grown the last couple of weeks. This kid is going to be a superstar, and all credit to Stephen Bradley, because there's not many other teams in the league doing what we're doing. We're winning, we're giving academy players the chance, the opportunity, they're playing first team, they're in the shop window. Like, there's not many other teams doing that at the minute, and that's full credit to the manager, because he's finding the balance of trust in his academy players and also, you know, winning things and getting the balance right.
100%. I think a lot of managers, particularly when you're working with limited budget and limited squads, and I've been there before, and your hand is nearly forced sometimes in terms of throwing in young players and giving them a chance. But that hasn't been the case with Stephen. Like, Stephen Bradley has to turn around and tell Graham Burke, "No, Graham, I'm leaving you out of the team. I'm starting a 16-year-old ahead of you." He has to turn around and tell Jack Byrne, "Jack, I'm leaving you out of the team. I'm starting a 17-year-old in front of you." Be it a Victor or an Adam Brennan or a Corey O'Sullivan or any of these boys that he's trained. Like, that's a hard, you know, I know you've been involved in a bit of management and coaching that as well. Like, that's a hard conversation. That's hard to keep the dressing room happy and tipping along in the right direction, and noses will be out of joint, but he's handling it brilliantly, and most importantly, the kids are backing him up by delivering when he does it.
Yeah, Shane, I agree. It's a difficult thing as a manager to do, and how Stephen Bradley has kept all these people happy is unbelievable. Week after week, season after season, like, there was a lot of players not even involved in the squad tonight, and he's still trusting these kids and throwing them in live on TV. And you know, Victor with a big price tag around his neck, like, that kid, you can see how good he is. And like, from me being around the academy, and I see the players that you don't even hear of now at the minute that are training with the first team, these are Stephen Bradley has the next batch of players ready behind the Victors and behind the Michael Noonans and behind the Corey O'Sullivans, all ready to come in. And while doing that, he also has the players who know how to win, who know how to perform, and you know, full credit to him. We're lucky to have him still in charge of Shamrock Rovers, and long may he continue in my days.
Absolutely, no doubt. If I was to throw one little, not concern, but one little thing that I'd throw out there, is I would have thought with 11 games gone, I would have thought by now that somebody would have emerged as your number one go-to option at centre forward. Like, you've got so many options that it's brilliant, you know, you can chop or change depending on horses for courses and all that, but I would have thought somebody by now would have banged in a right few and said, well, okay, you can leave me out in the lesser games, but I'm your go-to man for the big games at the moment. That if somebody stuck their hand up in that way, now you're almost kind of flawless. You could do with somebody emerging like that, in my opinion.
Yeah, Shane, listen, I think that's the conversation amongst a lot of Rovers fans, is that if we actually had that number nine, that, you know, knows where the goal is, we'd kick on even more. But you have to look at Michael Noonan. The kid is 17, you know, and he scored a goal last week against Shields. Probably could have scored two. He led the line tonight. I think a little bit of patience with him, you know, and he's going to kick on. John McGovern, you know, the jury's still out on him, but, you know, he's another one that can easily, you know, turn the screw come the summer. Rory Gaffney could be back. Yeah, it is. It always is. Where is that number nine? But like when you're winning things and you're successful, you know, like if we win the league at the end of the season, you know, we probably won't be having this conversation.
No, very, very true. It's a very, very small complaint in the grand scheme of things, isn't it?
Yeah, but like don't be surprised come June, saying that, you know, someone comes in the door either. Like, you know what I mean? So let's see what happens.
That's for sure. Ed, fair play for jumping on.
Shane, you're a legend. Thanks
very
much.
Super stuff. Talk to you later. We'll try one more because Keith has been very, very patient there. I know we're due to wrap up, but I might just see if we can get Keith in very quickly. Where am I? Here we go. Keith, are you able to hear us there? Hello, Keith, are you able to hear us? No, maybe not. Ben, you're back there. I hear you in the background, do I?
Yeah, you can hear me. I tell you what, Shane. I rang the house. I said, put on the hot water. I'm soaked to the bone. You wouldn't have it any other way, would you, travelling home from a League of Ireland match on a Friday night? Like?
Yeah, somebody might even have the hot water bottle in the bed for you.
I don't think I'll be that lucky now, Shane. I don't think they love me that much.
maybe not. I'd say we can leave it at that for tonight, Ben, can we? Hold on, Keith has just said, is that you, Keith?
It is, yeah. How are you saying?
Keith, we'll give you 3 minutes there before we log off. Keith, you support who, Keith?
I'm a Pats man, yeah.
Ah, fair. Well, listen, good talk, because we haven't got the Pats perspective tonight. You know, we were praising Rovers and kind of saying they didn't really have to get out of third gear, really. It's disappointing considering how well the season had been going, but you never really got going tonight, did you?
No, not at all. It was barely disappointing. And look, polar opposites to the two Rovers that you had on. Like, and even though you said a few minutes ago, Pats fans were getting notions, we were. Like, I was talking to you, I think, after the Waterford game, all buzzing, all positive, just before the international break. No, I did feel Dundalk were very good that night. I think they played Bowes that night, and they were very good. So I was worried about that game. But yeah, this week has just been, it's been a disaster now, to be honest with you. We look chalk and cheese compared to how we were previous to that. So I don't know what. Yeah, we just looked toothless. I know we had probably the two best chances of the game. Edmondson does great. He runs channels brilliant. He holds up brilliant. But I don't know how clinical he is in front of goal. And yeah, look, two big chances there. I know we didn't play that well, but he had tucked them. You never know how the game goes. Like, so fair play to McGinty. He saved both of them well. It's not like he missed, but we still should have done better.
Yeah, and like you say, he is a handful, he's a big man, he puts himself about, but like a lot of those style centre forwards, he probably isn't the most clinical. Are you hearing much around the injuries that were picked up last weekend? I think Palmer, Levy, you know, if they were out for a period, that would certainly be a concern. Is much talk on that front?
I haven't heard a huge amount, but obviously, look, Palmer has been brilliant from the start of the season to now. He's with Bagley's probably been our best player. Keane is so strong up top, and you know, he does have that end product and an eye for goal, and he can drop in a 10. But yeah, look, they're two big losses, and I really thought when we got into the final third, like bar Chris Forrester was look, he doesn't look 100%. That it's great to have him back, but you are missing kind of Keane is real tenacious when he drops slightly deeper than the outright nine. But yeah, look, frustration is not the word. Every time we seem to get two back, we're losing two. Like, you know, it's yeah, like Lennon Forrester back tonight, which you're missing, then Palmer and Keane, like, you know. So it's much of a muchness now, but definitely brought back down to earth now at the minute anyway.
And come here, yet everything has to be put in perspective to a certain extent. Like, if you had said before the ball was kicked, like, there was a lot of doom and gloom around Inchicore at the start of the year. Don't think people were massively impressed maybe with the transfer business. He'd had a poor finish to the previous season, obviously. Like, let's be honest, if you had told people at that stage that 11 games in, he'd be sitting in second position, 2 points off the top, you'd have took that.
Oh, definitely. Like, especially, I said the last day, especially after the Bowls game, the opening game, we were absolutely horrendous that day. We looked at nothing. But then the shape really clicked. And, yeah, like you said, even transfers, we just didn't seem to be, like, we were disappointed. It was more leaving than coming in. But then as the team has settled, yeah, like you said, we would have, and obviously with Bowls losing tonight, it kind of, it doesn't make it as bad, like, you know, we're still in second, only 2 points off, but they're two big, big defeats, like, you know, considering where we were, we haven't been in this position for a long time. Like, my son is 10, and, you know, he's Man United and Pat's mad, and he only said, this is the first time he's seen one of his teams at the top of the table, like, you know, so it's frustrating, but like you said, had you offered us this, after the Bowls game, we'd have took your hand off, like, so.
As a Pats and United fan, you were spoiled with success. Now he's going to have to suffer through a bit more of a barren.
To him, yeah. He's like, Dad, we have to do this. I was like, yeah, it's the joys of it.
Listen, chance to get it back on track though next Friday. You've a draw to side again, who you beat comprehensively, I think, when you played them last month. So you'd be hoping to get things back on track there, wouldn't you?
Yeah, like, look, Drogheda are tenacious, dogged, but I think if we have our quality, we can get the ball down and play. You'd like to think we can open them up, but still, Drogheda's never an easy game. I suppose Drogheda away at the start of the season, everyone says, you know, it's the toughest place to go, but you Drogheda, Bowls, Galway, it's not going to get much easier for us now at the minute. We just need to get back on track, and yeah, I suppose, look, yeah, really, that's get the confidence back up and players back, I suppose, is key for us.
Absolutely, 100%. Keith, fair play for being so patient with me getting to you there tonight, and thanks for jumping on.
Talk to you soon, lad.
Talk to you, mind yourself. Yeah. Bye, bye, bye. Right, Ben, I'll make a second attempt at wrapping it up here.
Brilliant, Shane. I'll tell you where I am right now. I'm about to get stuck up by a fuel protest on the M1. So I think that's a perfect way to wrap it up.
That is it. Given the week that we've had, that is a perfect way to wrap it up. That's for sure. Ben, super stuff. We'll chat to everybody again next week.
Thank you, Shane.
Good luck.
GAA.
In today's game, as a player group, you need to be able to manage yourselves on the pitch, but management need to be able to get messages in and alter how you're playing if it's not working. And I thought Cork and Dublin for the whole 70 minutes played the exact same way, seeing that it wasn't going right and that it wasn't working.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.